We're going to continue here tonight down through verse number 12 and going to go through probably the rest of the chapter. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to another place, and I want you to go ahead and go to the book of Mark, chapter number 9, because as soon as we get done reading a few verses, we're going to head that direction as well and read a pretty lengthy portion of Scripture tonight. So before we get going anywhere, let's ask God just to work in our hearts tonight and pray that it'll be a blessing to you. Lord, again, it is a joy to be here in your house. I pray that you just guide me through your Scripture. Lord, I pray that you will be glorified through everything that is going to be said and that has been accomplished here today at church. Lord, we pray that you would continue to work. We know that folks aren't able to come here tonight because of the weather, and we pray, Lord, that as we're meeting together, we pray that the ones who are at home, that they take the time to open up the Word of God and just to be able to read some chapters tonight or some verses to be able to allow you to speak to their hearts. Give us safety as we leave from here as well, and we ask it in your name. Amen. So we're going to turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 5, and verse number 12 it says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." So that's what we're back at now. We're at Solomon's porch where they just met and had some time of prayer. They're there because of Ananias and his wife. Both of them departed from this earth for keeping back some portions that they had when they sold their possessions and lied. The main part was they didn't lie to man, they lied to God. And so this is where we're at. And it says, "And the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them." They were astonished as what was taking place in their lives. In verse number 14, it says, "And believers were the more added to the Lord." So through this, we're seeing many more people coming to Jesus Christ by salvation, and they're added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. Aren't you glad the gospel just wasn't given to men? It was given to women as well. And so we're thankful for that. Insomuch, verse number 15, "that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed everyone." Go ahead and turn your Bibles back to the book of Mark, chapter number 9, and we'll begin reading in verse number 17. And last couple days, I've changed my reading habits. I'm actually trying to get through the whole book of the Bible within 3 months, and so the book of Matthew and Mark and now Luke is very fresh in my mind. And so we're going to pick this up here in verse number 17, because if you go, as we look at this, there is one thing that was lacking in the life of the disciples at this point in time, and we're going to see this. They were astonished with what Jesus was able to do. So we're going to read a very familiar story. It says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son." First of all, we understand this guy recognized who Jesus is, and he called him Master. And he's talking about his son who had a dumb spirit. He was concerned for his boy, and so the very thing that he wanted to do was bring it to the attention of Jesus. Which, by the way, when you think about this, Jesus already knew what his son was suffering with. He already knew those things, but this man came to him. Verse number 18, it says, "Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him." He's talking about the spirit with the man, the boy. "And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." You see what's taking place here? They could not do these things back then what they are doing now. It's amazing when you see this picture unfold. Verse number 19 says, "He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child." So he's had this problem since he was a child, no different than the lame man that we went through in chapter 3 and chapter 4 of the book of Acts. He was born that way. And so this particular young man had this problem as of a child. And verse number 22, it says, "And oftentimes they cast him in the fire into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." This man was in real need of Jesus reaching down and healing this man, this boy, so that he would no longer be in harm's way. And so he wanted Jesus to have compassion on him. What we need to understand is Jesus had a lot of compassion. Think about that statement for a little bit. Did he not give up everything in heaven to be here on earth, to give up his very life for you and for me? People who drag his name through the mud, people who mock him on a daily basis. And he had compassion on us, and thank God for that. Thank God for his son with the compassion that he had. And he wanted help, which is every parent's desire when they see their young people go through some horrific things in life. And they wanted Jesus to really just reach down and see, hey, my boy's in need, and I need your help, and I want you to do something that I know that you can do, that the disciples weren't able to do at this point in time. So in verse number 23, it says, "Jesus said to him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." There is nothing that is impossible with Jesus. He can do anything that he desires to do. You and I, we don't have that ability, but Christ does. I would like to think that I can do certain things, but when it comes to reality, there's some things that I can't do. I'm not gifted in some of the areas that you men and women that are gifted in. Some of you guys are gifted in seeing something needs to be built, and you can build it. Women have a great vision of working on computers and things of that nature, and I don't have those things. I would like to think that I do, but I don't. So as we go on in verse number 24, it says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out." Seeing here, he has a desperation. He's crying out. He's wanting help. In a sense, he's begging, in a sense. And said with tears. There have been many nights that I probably am not aware of as I was a child growing up, as my mother and father spent probably hours, if not days, in prayer for their children. And I can only imagine the tears that were shed so that we could have what they have, and that is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this man is in a different situation here. And he was hurting. He was wanting his boy to be healed of what was overcoming him. And so he cried out, and he shed tears. It says, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." And he needed help in this area. He said, "God, I believe you, but I still have doubt. I still doubt these things. I still doubt that you can heal him." And so this is where we're at. Verse number 25, it says, "When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." Do you see what's taking place? Another crowd was gathering. They were running to Jesus because they were going to see a great thing performed here. They knew of the circumstances. They knew of the man that was with Jesus at this point in time. They knew of the child that had this dumb spirit upon him. And they did not want to miss out on this great miracle that was going to take place. In verse number 26, it says, "And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come to the house, his disciple asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out?" What are we seeing done in the book of Acts at this point in time? We're seeing Peter going about being able to heal folks in the position, in the place that he's at right now. And so Jesus answers them. He says, verse number 29, "And he said to them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." What have we seen that took place in Acts chapter number 2? Where did the disciples and the women go at this point in time? They went into an upper room, and what was the thing that they did that sticks out to you right now? They met and they prayed. And I believe, I know it doesn't say this in Scripture, but I believe there's probably some fasting that was taking place. When Jesus left them, things began to click in their mind. It began to register. And hey, man, our master, he taught us these things. And he spoke to us about these things. Now it's time for us to take action on this part. And so now they have come to a part where they were dependent upon prayer. And prayer had become a vital point in their life, insomuch that the Holy Spirit filled them. He bestowed some special gifts upon them. And now they're able to go forth, and they're able to touch a lame man, and his bones were again brought back to strength, and he's able to walk. And the folks are seeing these things. And now they are astonished at what has taken place. And now people are bringing their loved ones who are sick, and they're bringing them in on their couches and beds at this point in time to the streets of where Peter was at, so that they can be healed of their infirmities. And they were just hoping that maybe the shadow of Peter would be able to heal these folks. And it's an amazing thing why this took place. And I believe it's because they go back to chapter number 2 where they met in prayer. The Holy Spirit bestowed something special upon these men, that they were able to do some things that you and I aren't able to do. And so we have to, first of all, understand that prayer is important. And prayer is powerful. And the only reason why prayer is powerful is because of the God that we're praying to. That's why prayer is powerful. And so they were in this position because they met with the Lord. They had a desire to speak to Him. They had a desire to hear from Him as well. And so many believers were added again to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. Now, if you can imagine with me in your minds, I know you guys haven't been there, but in Jerusalem at this point in time, the width of the streets are not that wide. Even to this day, the old city of Jerusalem, the streets are very narrow. They're very compact. They do a lot of merchandise selling on there. You can see many trying to sell souvenirs. You would see many trying to sell their bread, vegetables, things of that nature. So the streets were packed. Even when I was there, I can just imagine what was taking place there at that point in time. And they would bring them in so that they can be healed of their sickness. They can be healed of their diseases that they had at this point in time. In verse number 16, it says, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one. Meaning nobody was left out. Everybody that came in to have their unclean spirits cast out, everybody who came in to be healed of their sickness, it says they were healed, every single one of them. And I believe it's because we go back again to chapter number 2, as they met with the Lord, as they took time to deepen their relationship with the Lord, as a time for them to have a more intimate time with the Lord in their lives. And I believe that's something that you and I should desire in our lives too. We shouldn't just come to prayer meeting and begin just to go over the same things that we go over, but we ought to really seek to have an intimate relationship when it comes to praying to the Lord. Gather your thoughts. Write out your prayers on occasions. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with rehearsing those prayers. I have seen some people, as they wrote their prayers, and I begin to read those things, like, wow, what a powerful thing to say. Be bold in your prayers as well. Be very specific in prayers. Don't beat around the bush, but be very specific. As we've been dealing here in these last couple months, a lot of us in here have been very specific in the life of Doc, and now we're being very specific in the life of Terry as well. Come to him and be specific when you meet with him in prayer. And then we, as we move on from here, verse number 17, it says, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prisons. I was able to see some of these prisons that was over there, and it's pretty unique. I really can't describe it. You just have to see a picture for yourself. But they were not happy with what was going on, because once before, they've already tried to shut up Peter. They tried to close their mouth, and they put him in prison overnight. And now they have put them in common prison again. Why? Because Peter and I think it's John. Am I correct on that one? It's kind of slipping my mind here. They have been put into prison. They're talking about Jesus Christ. They're capitalizing upon the audience that Jesus has given them, because they realize that there is a need that these folks need to have in their life. And I believe you and I should capitalize upon the audience that we have. And speaking of this, is anybody here familiar with Bobby Bowden? Bobby Bowden is a Florida State, used to be the Florida State head football coach. He's in his early 90s now. A few months ago, I was able to watch a series on him, and I've known for a while that he was a saved man. Matt's mother-in-law used to make, or she still does, she's in the drapery business, and she was able to decorate the house of Bobby Bowden with her drapes. And she was able to hear of his testimony a little bit and how he was saved. What I didn't know about Bobby Bowden was, as he was a coach, he capitalized upon the audience that God gave him. He saw that there's a need as for the players that were underneath him, and that need was that they needed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, today in our world, it's a little bit different than it was 20 years ago, obviously. Now they want to shut you up even more. But Bobby Bowden had a freedom about him, and he was able to preach the Word of God in the practices. I've seen some videos where he has the Word of God out, and he's preaching to his players. And there have been some players who heard the gospel, and as they're talking about the legacy of Bobby Bowden, he says, man, if it wasn't for Bobby Bowden preaching Jesus Christ and having me come to the repent of my sins, I wouldn't be saved today. I'm like, wow. But what was taking place? He capitalized upon the audience God gave him. He wasn't going to shy away. He wasn't going to back down. And I believe even if he was told that he was going to lose his job, I believe that he would still stand up and preach the gospel to his players. He would take his players to church every Sunday. The first Sunday he would take his players to a white church, and then the next Sunday he would take his players to a black church. And he would alternate back and forth. And because he knew that they needed Jesus Christ. There is a man that came out of the group that a lot of folks... if I say his name, which I will recognize it. Mark Rick, who used to be the head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. He was a player for Bobby Bowden. He sat there in the room, and I saw pictures of Mark as he sat there underneath a teaching of Bobby Bowden, where he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Why? Because Bobby Bowden was not afraid to capitalize upon the audience. Just like Peter here is not afraid to capitalize upon the audience that God has given him. And he was faithful in that part, just like Peter is faithful in this part, because he has a desire to give the Word of God out to these lives. Sick people were coming in. People with unclean spirits were coming in, and they were able to heal them. And at the same time, not only were folks healed physically, but folks were healed spiritually as well. They're saved from hell and now are on their way to heaven. And so some problems arose, and some people, again, wanted to shut their mouths, and so they put them in prison. And there might come a day in our time where the government might want to shut our mouths, and they might want to put us in prison. The question is, are you going to stand up for the Lord? We'll see this here. It says, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. In other words, what has taken place is there has been a jailbreak. They have been broken out of jail. Let's look at verse number 21. It says, and when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the sin of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in prison, they returned and told, saying, the prisoners truly found we shut with all safety, and their keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. I believe, as this was taking place, that the angel of the Lord gathered these two men and just whisked them in the air over the prison walls and into the temple. There was nothing that made it look like they actually made a prison escape, because all the doors were locked, everything was secure, but no prisoners were found. If I was a guard back at that point in time, I would just be, what in the world just happened? Where are the prisoners? My very life is in danger right now because I was left in charge of these men. And these guards, if they lost their prisoners, their lives were at stake here. And so it'd be very concerning as well. And we go on to verse number 24. It says, now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the man whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Regardless of what is taking place right now in the life of Peter, was the very fact that regardless of what was going to be done to him, he was still going to be faithful in giving the message to the people that God has given him at this point in time. And so they were remaining faithful. Verse number 26, it says, then with the captain, with the officers, and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. They were angry with the fact that the truth of God was given to the people. They were angry with that fact. By the way, we should not be ashamed of the truth of the Word of God. We should proclaim it boldly. We shouldn't beat around a bush with it, but we should proclaim it very boldly. And for this reason, there are folks that are in need of the gospel. There are folks that are in need of a life change. And how can that life change come about? That's through the power of God. And you just might be that voice at that point in time in someone's life. Don't miss out on that opportunity. Don't be fearful of what man can do to you, because they really have no power over you. Yeah, they might hurt you physically. They can do some things of that nature. But God's going to bless you, and at the end, God's going to deliver you from it, whether it be through death or through something else. But God will deliver you from those things. And so as we go on from here, it says, where did I leave off at? Verse number 28 says, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. I like verse number 29. I like the boldness of what Peter's response is to them, because this should be you and I in our world today. This should be us. It says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. If you go back to the book of Daniel and you read the story of Daniel, what was told him? That he could no longer pray. That came down from the very top. He was told that if he was going to get caught praying to his God, that there were going to be some things that were going to be done to him. What did Daniel do? Daniel remained faithful to God because he saw the importance of serving God. He saw the importance of being obedient to God. And that is who we need to be obedient to, is to our Lord and Savior. And so, even though Daniel was faced with a certain threat in his life, which, by the way, I wouldn't want to be in a den full of lions. I would try to run as fast as I could. I'd probably be so scared, I would probably be running like Fred Flintstone. My feet would be up in the air going 50 miles an hour and going nowhere. That would probably be me. But regardless of what came his way, he still prayed to God. He still took time to have a relationship because he loved his Lord. This is Peter all over again. Peter was told, hey, I want you to shut your mouth, Peter. I don't want you to pervert this world right now with your doctrine. I don't want you to talk about Jesus. But Peter saw the need to give the gospel. Peter saw the need to tell the truth of who Jesus is. And he says, we ought to obey God rather than men. Verse number 30 says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on the tree. I believe this is about the third time that Peter is recalling back to what they did to Jesus. They slew him and they hanged him on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Do you see what Peter is doing at this point in time? The very thing that they're trying to shut his mouth from, and that's preaching. Peter was bold, very bold. He had to have been bold for him, for this very thing. Do you remember when he was with Jesus and the Roman soldiers came to capture Jesus? What did Peter do? He grabbed the sword of the Roman soldier and chopped off his ear. Peter was a very bold man. He stood up for what he believed in, and he wasn't ashamed of those things. And so now, even though they're still trying to quiet him, they're still trying to get him away from the light, to where people are no longer interested, he takes the time, hey, I'm going to preach. And it's just a very few words. In verse number 32, it says, and we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Verse 33, it says, and when they heard that, they were cut to the heart, and took counsel to slay him. What's being done here? The truth hurts. The truth hurts. That's what happens here. And they were offended, and they were mad. And because of this, they wanted to take action upon them. And what do they want to do? They wanted to kill them. My question is tonight, if we are faced with death for standing up for Jesus, what would we do? What route would we take? Would we say, my relationship matters with Jesus, and if I got to face death, then so be it? Or would we say, you know, my life isn't worth risking, I'm going to walk away? That wasn't the case with Peter. It says, then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named, if you guys can pronounce it, Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation, somebody's going to laugh at me later, I don't care, I'm used to that, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For behold, before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught, meaning it will pass, it won't have any meaning. But verse number 39 says, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. You know, if you look at our world today, they're trying to overthrow God. They're trying to tell us that God's not real. They're trying to tell us when we pray that we're talking to ourselves. We have people that are fighting against the very belief of God, which is very scary when you begin to think about those things. But they go on from this. In verse number 40, it says, and to them, him, they agreed. And when they had called the apostles, and beaten them. Okay, so at this point in time, they wanted to slay them. But what took place in the life of these men? Now they have taken scars upon their body. They have been physically beaten by probably the Roman soldiers that were placed over them, or perhaps the council of the men as well from the Senate. But they were beaten. And they were commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. First of all, they don't know who these men really are, because these men aren't going to shy away from this. They're going to stand up. They're still going to speak about God. They're still going to speak of his great love. They're going to continue to talk about the death of Jesus and what they did to him. Why? Because they loved him. And as I begin to close tonight's service, what I see take place here in the lives of these men is the beautiful scars that they have taken upon their body for standing up for the Lord. You know, we can all look at our bodies and begin to see scars that has happened to us in our lives. I was running home one day where we grew up on 20th and Avenue D, and on the corner of 2101 Avenue C was a little old, what do you call those stores? Just a candy store, had some pop machines in there, fountain pop and things of that nature. And we had a paper route that we're able to go in there every Tuesday and every Wednesday and begin to buy the candy that we wanted to bring into our bodies and give us big zits along the way. And that we're always excited about those things. And I remember one particular day, I was with Wayne and we're running back, and I don't know why we were running. And as I got to the corner of 20th and Avenue D, I tripped over the curb and fell right onto the concrete. My hand went underneath my stomach and it drug on the ground. And I remember screaming in pain as I walked over, I ran over to the house, wanted comfort for mom. I lost my fingernail, and to this day I have a scar on my pinky, my left pinky. It's kind of like a knot. So I will never forget that scar. I will never forget that day. These men, Peter, they were beaten, and now they have scars to show forth on their stand for Jesus Christ. They weren't allowing these men to shut them up. They would take this to the grave with them. It says, and they are beaten. They commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. What did we just read here in a few verses ago? It says, we would rather obey God than men. They knew what their duty was. They knew that they could possibly face death. They knew that they could be beaten severely in their lives. But now they're bearing the scars of Jesus that they took time to stand up for him. It says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. In other words, after they were threatened with their very lives, after they were put in prison and released, and after they were beaten, they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Oh, the beautiful scars that someday that you and I might see in Peter for standing up for the Lord. Verse number 42, it says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You know, the story doesn't stop here, because they're going to continue to get beaten. They're going to continue to get scars. As I close, let me ask you a question. What are you willing to go through for Jesus? What are you willing to go through? Are you willing to stand up for him in a world today where he's not so popular? Are you willing to maybe possibly take the beating upon your life? Maybe you might be faced with death. They rejoiced. They rejoiced for what they went through. It's an amazing story, and you begin to think about those things. And I'm thankful today that these men did what they did, because we're all here because of it. And the gospel continues to go out into this world because of men like Peter stood up for Jesus Christ and still is being added to the church. What a tremendous story. What's your impact on people's lives going to be? Are you going to be like Peter? You're going to capitalize upon the audience? Maybe you might be like Bobby Bowden and given a place of being a coach somewhere along the way, and you have men in front of you that you know need the Lord? Are you going to give them the gospel? The story keeps going on, and we don't have to let it end. We can be a part of that story. Let's all stand with our heads bowed, and I'm just going to pray and dismiss us. The pastor wants to talk. That's up to him, but I'm just going to pray real quick, and we can go. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the scars that the disciples were willing to put upon their own lives for you. Lord, without a doubt, you blessed them. You took care of them, and we thank you for that. Lord, help us to have the boldness, no matter what is done to us, no matter what is said to us, that we would stand up for you and with you. We ask as we leave here tonight that you give everybody safety, and we ask it in your name. Amen.